All right, let's dive in. We got a lot of messages about this opinion piece from the San Diego Union Tribune. So, the one about San Diego's coastal train and whether it's actually sustainable.
Yeah, seems like a hot topic.
It is definitely sparking debate. And, well, the authors, Peter Crampton and Kevin Patrick, they don't mince words.
No, they don't. They come right out and say it's unsustainable.
Unsustainable. Yeah, their words, not ours. But and they even question SANDAG, that's the San Diego Association of Governments, and their whole, you know.
Their take on how important this train line really is.
Exactly. Like, is it as crucial as they make it seem?
It's interesting how Crampton and Patrick, they flip the script.
Mm.
You know, they focus on the potential downsides, the costs, things that often get overlooked when people talk about, well, the benefits of trains and public transit.
And their biggest concern seems to be this whole issue of
coastal erosion.
Yeah, coastal erosion.
They say it's happening at a rate of 6 inches per year.
6 inches now?
Might not sound like a lot.
You know, at first, yeah.
But when you think about it, this train line, it runs right along the coast. I mean,
sometimes just feet from the edge.
Right. And those 6 inches, they add up.
And we're already seeing the consequences.
Oh, absolutely. They point out that we've spent, get this, almost $1 billion over the past 20 years.
A billion
just to try and protect the tracks.
Wow.
With all this armoring and, you know.
$1 billion. That's, you gotta wonder.
It's like the sunk cost fallacy, right? We keep pouring money into something because we've already invested so much.
Even if it's maybe not the best solution in the long run.
Exactly. And all that armoring. It hasn't even stopped the disruptions.
Oh, right. The service disruptions.
Constant delays, cancellations. Imagine, you know.
Your commute's constantly being messed up.
Because the tracks are literally crumbling into the ocean.
Not exactly reliable, is it?
Not at all. And then there's SANDAG, you know.
Crampton and Patrick, they really go after SANDAG.
They claim SANDAG is fixated on ridership.
And how it connects to the national rail system.
But they sort of gloss over the real costs
of actually maintaining this train line.
It's like they're accusing SANDAG of, you know,
cherry picking information.
Yeah. Presenting this rosy picture, but not telling the whole story.
Like, what about that potential $20 billion price tag?
To relocate the train inland.
Over the next decade, just to avoid that erosion.
A massive amount of money.
$20 billion.
Huge, even for a state like California, potentially, yeah. And Crampton and Patrick, they actually suggest some alternatives.
Oh, right, they do.
They talk about light rail, improving east-west public transit connections.
They even mention electric vehicles.
And then there's this idea
of converting the train tracks
into a 61-mile coastal trail.
Imagine that, a 61-mile.
It's a bold vision.
It is, but wouldn't that, you know, cut San Diego off from the national rail?
That's the argument you often hear, right? Sure. But Crampton and Patrick, they challenge that.
They say the current line, it mainly serves the wealthier communities.
Those living along the coast?
Not so much the folks further inland who actually rely on public transit.
It's almost like a private commuter line for the affluent.
And they argue that it might even be widening the gap.
Between the rich and the poor.
Because it's taking resources away from
other transportation options that could benefit, you know,
a wider range of people, yeah.
Exactly. And it's not just the social equity aspect.
They bring up environmental concerns too, right?
They do. They point out all that construction, the maintenance, especially the armoring, to protect against erosion.
It's actually having a negative impact.
On the environment.
So even projects that are supposed to be green, you know.
Can't have unintended consequences.
We got to look at the big picture, the entire life cycle of a project.
From start to finish.
And they even suggest that, you know, that trail idea, converting the train line.
Could be more environmentally friendly.
And socially beneficial.
A win-win, potentially.
So if this train is so expensive, so inefficient, maybe even harmful.
Why are we still investing in it?
Good question. Crampton and Patrick say it comes down to
status quo bias.
That tendency to stick with what's familiar.
Even when there might be better options out there.
And they point out there are some powerful groups who benefit from keeping things as they are.
Developers, construction companies, even politicians who get to, you know,
tout those federal dollars they bring in.
Exactly. They have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo.
Even if it's not really
serving the best interests of the community.
Classic case of special interests winning out.
It really makes you think.
And that's why Crampton and Patrick are calling for this.
Independent benefit cost analysis.
Of the whole project.
They want a truly objective evaluation looking at the costs, the benefits, all the alternatives.
Like, let's step back, look at the hard data.
Make a rational decision.
Not based on inertia or political convenience.
It's a really powerful argument.
Gets to the heart of how we make these decisions about infrastructure.
And who those decisions ultimately benefit.
Lots to unpack there.
Definitely gives us a lot to think about.
Yeah, that independent analysis, that really stuck with me too. Like, are we just throwing money at this train because it's always been there?
It's that status quo bias, like we talked about. We get comfortable with what we know, even if that might not be the best way forward, you know?
It makes you wonder, what about other projects in other cities? Are there things being built or maintained that maybe don't make sense anymore?
That's the point Crampton and Patrick are making, right? This train line, it's a case study. It's about thinking critically, being skeptical, especially when you're talking about projects that have such a big impact environmentally, socially.
And this one definitely does. I mean, they argue that even the environmental benefits, you know, the ones people use to justify the train.
They say those are overstated at best.
And with all the construction, the armoring, all that.
It might actually be hurting the environment more than it helps.
It's like we label something green, but we don't look at the whole picture, the long-term effects.
The entire lifespan, from building it to tearing it down one day.
And that's where their idea of a trail comes in, that rails-to-trail conversion is like, whoa, think differently.
It would be a huge change, right? But it shows how we need to get more creative with infrastructure, think about all the possibilities, how it affects the community, not just, you know, transportation.
But back to those equity concerns, they made a good point about how the train, it mostly benefits
the wealthier folks along the coast.
And it doesn't really help those who are further inland, who depend on public transit the most.
It raises the question, who are these projects really for? Who benefits? Who pays?
And Crampton and Patrick are saying, we got to be more aware of that, you know? Make sure the money we spend, it's actually helping everyone, not just a select few.
And they don't just criticize. They offer solutions, like investing in east-west transit connections that would help way more people.
Especially those who rely on public transit every day for work, for getting around.
And they talk about things like electric vehicles, making our transportation systems more efficient, ways to reduce traffic and emissions without, you know, these huge, expensive construction projects.
It's like there's no magic bullet, right? Every city, every community, it's different, but we need to be having these discussions.
Absolutely. Talking about the different options, the costs, the benefits, making sure that what we build, it reflects what we value, what kind of future we want.
This whole deep dive has been, I don't know, it's made me think, it's made me question things.
Me too. And I hope it's done the same for our listeners, you know, made them a little more skeptical, especially when it comes to these big infrastructure decisions.
Crampton and Patrick, they've shown us that it's okay to ask tough questions, to demand more from our leaders, to not just accept the status quo.
And to remember that infrastructure, it's not just about concrete and steel. It's about people.
It's about communities, about what kind of world we want to live in.
And that's something worth thinking about, worth fighting for.
So it all comes back to, you know, like we were saying, how we make these big decisions about infrastructure as a society.
Yeah. How do we balance the needs of everyone?
Yeah.
How do we deal with, like, the pressure to just keep doing things the way they've always been done?
That status quo thing.
Exactly. And how do we make sure that, you know, when we spend public money, it's actually based on evidence, on facts?
Crampton and Patrick, they gave us a lot to think about, didn't they?
They did. That whole idea of status quo bias, like, it's so easy to just go with the flow, even when maybe it's not the best choice.
Well, they're saying, hey, let's look at the alternatives. Let's be smart about this. Use data when we're planning these huge projects.
And it's okay to question things.
Yeah.
You know, to push back, to demand more from our leaders.
Not just accept things, because that's how they've always been done.
Right. And those lessons, they apply to so much more than just this train line in San Diego.
So think about that as you go about your day. You know, when you hear about projects in your own community, building a new highway, a new park, whatever it is.
Ask yourself, who benefits from this?
Yeah.
Who's paying for it? What are the long-term effects?
Are there other ways to do it? Maybe better ways, more fair, more sustainable?
Those are the questions that, you know, they can help us create a better future where infrastructure, it really does serve everyone.
Where it brings us together instead of dividing us.
And helps build a world that's, you know, more prosperous, more just, more sustainable for all of us.
That's a goal worth working towards. Well, this deep dive has been, I don't know about you, but it's given me a lot to think about. And I hope it's done the same for our listeners.
I think so. It's been a good conversation.
It has. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive. We'll see you next time.